Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. May its light illuminate our hearts and minds and lives today. Amen. It's Christmas. Well, I'm sure we can remember just over a month ago. Underneath the gaudily decorated Christmas tree is a whole pile of fascinatingly wrapped, interestingly shaped presents, all waiting to be opened, tried, played with, consumed, poured out, worn. So many, many gifts. But now, 29th of January, the tree is down. Has anybody still got the tree up? Phew. I know people who have. You've got your tree up. No hope. Most of the trees are down. The pile of presents is gone. Put in the cupboard, forgotten, tasted, smelt. The excitement is all over. But there's one present you're still using. Maybe it's a new watch, a perfume, or a designer jumper. When you wear it, use it, flaunt it, you feel special, better, superior, smug. Now, when I googled smug, that's what came up, but I can't think why. Smug, that's the world of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So much of what Paul writes in this letter happens today. The church gets things wrong. Paul plays the role of stern teacher, getting them back on track. So what's going on? What's going wrong? Well, what was going on? Those pesky Corinthians had got themselves in a mess. They were aware of the power of the Holy Spirit, but were more concerned than they should have been with rank, status, hierarchy. Paul wades in to get things back on track. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters. I do not want you to be uninformed. Might be better, more helpful way of putting it. Now about things related to the Spirit's work. Later in the passage, he talks specifically about the gifts. But here, the language means spiritual activity. And he's very keen to separate the Holy Spirit, as promised by Jesus, from other spiritual stuff. The Corinthians were familiar with many false gods and idols that were dotted around their city. Pagan idol worship involved frenzy, hysteria, false spirituality. And we can easily see parallels into 21st century life, where being spiritual is seen as something separate from faith, separate from faith in the one true God. And what's wrong? Well, the Corinthians were getting things badly wrong. They'd been putting things in the place Jesus should be. They had a wrong idea of Jesus, and Paul puts this right. Verse 3 says, "Therefore I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." This verse is a bit jarring. Who has been saying, "Jesus be cursed"? What could cause them to say such a thing? I had three ideas that came up. It could be pagans while worshipping Christ were cursing Christ, and the believers were puzzled where that idea came from, thinking that anything spiritual was from God, not being aware of the totality of spiritual activity, some of which has a very different purpose than glorifying Christ. Or was it a church member wanted to get into more and more outrageous, outlandish spiritual activity and passing Jesus by, claiming some sort of super spirituality that was above that of Paul and didn't need Jesus? Or was it a Jewish view that Christ's crucifixion on a tree meant he was cursed and therefore could not be a saviour? We don't know, but we have the clear rebuttal. Saying Jesus is Lord is the work of the Holy Spirit. Paul stresses there is no way a Christian, a follower of Jesus, could say, "Jesus be cursed." The right response is to proclaim, "Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord." A key concept for Paul. Remember in Philippians chapter 2? It says, "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And here in Romans 10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saying Jesus is Lord is the key to salvation. And there's a further important aspect of this three-word proclamation. In a Roman colony, in any part of the empire, saying Jesus is Lord is followed by the corollary, Caesar is not. Jesus is Lord, a revolutionary statement, a statement of faith beyond earthly kingdoms. Saying Jesus is Lord is to be brave, to challenge authority, to align yourself with a power greater than Caesar. Put your life at risk. And for us? We remember, we confess, we proclaim consistently, faithfully, through thought and word and deed, that Jesus is Lord. We let the world know that he is Lord every day, Lord of our lives and how we live them. Verses 4 to 6, we move on to thinking of the blessing the Spirit gives to all who follow, the gifts and where they come from. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. These are particularly important words for a church that believes God is three and God is one. One of the places we have an explicitly Trinitarian view. Different gifts, same Spirit. Different service, same Lord. Different work, same God. Spirit, Son, Father. The Trinity. Us preachers would think it would be really helpful if Paul just once used that word, the Trinity. But clearly he sees God in three aspects. Father, Son, and Spirit. Three persons, different ways of operating, different revelation, but united in purpose to draw the body of believers, the church, together. So next we reach the description of the spiritual gifts, the marks of the work of the Spirit. We have a preface, though, that the manifestation of the Spirit is not for the individual. It's not a sign that one person is more godly, more holy than the next. They're for the common good of the whole body, to edify, to instruct, to improve, to develop, to grow, to make the church more like Jesus. Tom Wright says of the church, "The church is to be the place where together we learn how to be God's genuinely human beings, worshipping God and serving him by reflecting his image in the world." A challenge for each of us, for the church as an organisation, and anyone in leadership to grow, to enable, and to shine. Clearly, and obviously to us from 2,000 year perspective, the gifts are not for some super spiritual Christians to show off, or for holier than thou Christians to put themselves on a pedestal. They are to benefit all and to grow maturity in the church. When I was writing this bit, I felt a little bit guilty or convicted. Not saying I big myself up or for being super spiritual, but that I see Christians who demonstrate these gifts as somehow more Christian than me, better at being a Christian than I am. And that's wrong. It's something that I need to work at overcoming. I need to remember the blessings that God has given me. Just last week I heard a friend talking about trips to India where he has seen miraculous healings of disfigured limbs, of damaged joints, the blind seeing, the deaf hearing. All the sorts of miracles we hear about in the Bible. I long to see them myself, but I forget that 27 years ago I was at the New Wine Conference, hardly able to stand for 4 minutes in the worship time. My knee was so very bad. I was prayed for and was healed on the spot. I stood for all the worship for the rest of that week. It took 26 years for it to get that bad again. That was a miracle. 15 years ago, I was diagnosed with severe depression. I was on very strong medication, 3 different tablets. I was prayed for. I was made well. I didn't need those meds again. It's now 14 and a half years since I last took any. I remember my wife had a test, turned out to be precancerous. She went for a procedure, which was normally followed by chemo or radio or further surgery. But the operation was so successful, 100% successful, she needed nothing but rest to recover. All those precancerous, dangerous cells went. My son had his hearing restored at the Limitless Festival last summer. It made him so much better. Still needs a bit more investigation. Medical investigation. My sister, 2 weeks ago today, was taken ill. She was meant to be in South Africa, well, coming back today from South Africa, but was at the airport and was too ill to get on the plane. She had diagnosed with a pulmonary embolism. If she'd made it onto that plane, I might not have a sister today. Little miracles, but big blessings. God is good. God is good. I need to make more of these and worry less that I might not be a good Christian. And celebrate more that people I know are seeing miracles. Because these events are not their work, they are God's work. They're not their stories to share, they are God's stories. And they're for all of us to be sharing, to say we know a powerful, life-changing, people-loving, hope-bringing, intervening God. Our God cares for us. So there's nothing about spiritual gifts that should make us jealous. When we hear stories of miracles, we are blessed. We know God is still at work. And that's because I'm a continuationist. Theologically, I believe that God still does work through the Holy Spirit in miraculous ways. And I know experientially that this is true. I'm not a cessationist who believes miraculous gifts ended when the apostles died. The church loves labels. Saying that I'm a continuationist is basically church shorthand. But I believe God can, will, and does change things today in ways beyond human explanation. I believe in miracles, in healing, in restoration. I believe God can do anything. Now about things relating to the Spirit's work. What are the gifts? Well, here there are 9 listed. Scattered around the rest of the letters there are another 11 at least, 20 in all. These gifts are not abilities or talents. They are special blessings from the Holy Spirit when needed to help the church. I may be a talented singer. If you've heard me, you know this is like rhetoric, because I am the worst singer in the room, without doubt. I may be a talented singer, but that's not a spiritual gift. Having understanding of a situation without being told is wisdom, and that is a gift. So let's list them. The 9 here: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation. And from other places, administration, apostleship, encouragement, evangelism, giving, helping, hospitality, leadership, mercy, pastoring, and teaching. All of us are given a gift. All of us, when we say Jesus is Lord, are sealed with the Spirit and have a role in the body of Christ. We may not think we have a gifting, but we do. We have the Spirit working in us and through us to build up the church. There's loads of different online tests or books or pamphlets that help us discern our gifting. I'll just give us a quick run through of the gifts, but think, where do I fit in? Where do you fit in? What are your special abilities to serve and strengthen the church? Administration, organising resources for people and people for ministry, apostleship, launching, leading new ministry ventures, discernment, recognising the truth and or error in a message or a person or an event, encouragement, helping others live God-centred lives through inspiration, counsel, empowerment, evangelism, sharing the love of Christ and drawing people to respond, faith, stepping out to see God's purposes accomplished, giving, joyfully supporting and funding kingdom initiatives, healing, restoring to health beyond natural means the sick, hurting and suffering, helping, offering others assistance to reach their goals in the kingdom, hospitality, providing a warm and welcoming environment for fellowship, tongues, communication of God's message in a special language, an interpretation, understanding God's message, knowledge, communicating God's message so as to promote justice, honesty, understanding, leadership, vision casting, stimulating spiritual growth, applying strategies, achieving success, mercy, showing love and care and compassion to those who are suffering in any way. Miracles, supernatural acts that demonstrate God's power. Pastoring, taking spiritual responsibility for a group of believers. Prophecy, offering messages from God that comfort, encourage, guide or warn. And teaching sound doctrine, mature spiritual education. Finally, wisdom, making wise decisions, providing sound advice. Looking at my life and my experience as a spirit-filled believer, I can see times when these gifts have blessed me, changed me, or enabled me to do things that were not my innate talent. I feel if I sat down and wrote the story of my life, I would see the work of the Spirit written on every page. What about you? Some people categorize gifts in different ways, define them differently. But the essence is that the Holy Spirit longs to, loves to bless us, the believers. He offers us gifts that we can use to help those around us in the church. The physical gifts like healing. It's easy to see how bringing restoration to a church member would build up the body. More abstract gifts, administration. It's not glamorous, but it is essential. Even the first church soon discovered the need to organise themselves. Ecstatic gifts, tongues, sometimes misguidedly seen as a badge of faith. Day-to-day gifts like hospitality. It's a huge gift to be hospitable. It's a blessing. It binds people together. What's your gift? We're almost at the end. But I want to leave a little space for us to reflect, to pray, to respond. Reflect. What's the Holy Spirit doing through you to build up the church? Ask the Holy Spirit to convince and convict you as to your gift or gifts. Ask for God to work in you with power to edify the church, the community, your circle of friends. Just going to leave a short pause for us to gather our thoughts, and then we'll pray. As I pray, maybe echo these words in your hearts. Lord, give me a heart of faith to trust the Spirit and the Spirit's work in my life. I ask for a heart that desires the gift of the Spirit for the common good. I ask to be open to see the gifts of the Spirit in others. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to live and die for me. Thank you for bringing me into your family. Thank you that I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. You sent him to dwell in my heart to lead me and to guide me. Take my life, use every part of me to your praise and your glory. Lord, I pray that you would use all that I am, my own abilities and my talents, as well as the spiritual gifts that you, in your grace, have seen fit to give me. I also pray that you would open my understanding to the special spiritual gifts you've given to me by your grace. Show me what is the gift you have given to me to use for the benefit of the body of Christ. Make it truly known to me and use it to encourage and edify my brothers and sisters in Christ. To your praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.